This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Hey, baby step number two, pay off all your debt except for the house using the debt snowball, Amanda.
All right. As opposed to the avalanche.
Yeah. So here's a couple of quick statistics about debt. Okay. I'm not going to bore everybody with a bunch of statistics, but these are relevant to what we're talking about here. The average household income out there is $56,000. Okay.
Okay.
I want everybody out there, you're listening to this podcast, you're probably working out, you may be driving. If you're driving a car, don't do this, because I want you to close your eyes. So if you're driving down the road,
I don't think they should close their eyes if they're working out either.
That's true. You can fall off a treadmill, but think about 10 houses.
With your eyes open.
Yeah, with your eyes open. She's really worried about you guys, everybody. Amanda is worried about your health right now. Imagine 10 houses on your street right now. Think of eight of them out of the 10 and all the vehicles sitting in their driveways and all that. On average, 8 out of 10 of those houses on your street, those people are living paycheck to paycheck, Amanda.
Yeah, or it could include you. Yeah.
It could include me, but it's not me. I guarantee it's not me. Now, if I had neighbors, we've been through this before, Amanda. If I had neighbors, which I do.
I thought we just said if you had friends before.
Well, there's that too. Anyway, 64% of Americans can't even cover that $1,000 emergency fund we talked about in baby step one.
Yeah.
64% of all Americans on average. 24% of Americans waste 24%. That's weird. 24% of Americans waste 24% of their take-home pay on consumer debt.
Like credit cards.
Yeah, credit cards. Everything but a mortgage. That would also include your cars, your boats, all that stuff.
Boats.
That's insane. Boats. We're going to get to boats here in a second. Just like we talked about baby step one, you should have already stopped all contributions to your 401k, no matter if there's a company match. We're going to do this all in as quickly as possible. All money extra from your budget. You scrutinized your budget. You took out everything you don't need to be paying for. All that money is going and attacking this debt.
Yep.
There's two different ways that people have heard about paying off their debt. There's the debt avalanche.
Yes.
And the debt snowball. You know what the avalanche is, Amanda. What is that?
The avalanche is taking your debt with the highest interest rate and paying that one down first. And then once that's paid, then you apply all of that money to the next highest interest rate debt.
Right. And some people will do that for the biggest balance also. All right.
Yeah.
So they're doing it that way. And because mathematically, it is the faster way to pay off the debt. So
you pay less money in interest usually.
Right. Right. And so that's what it is. So you're actually paying more of it towards debt. However, the debt snowball is the complete opposite. We're listing out all of our debts, smallest to biggest. And what we're going to do is we're going to pay the smallest ones first, which is completely opposite of what all the mathematicians, the statistical people, they're like, oh, that's not the way to do it. That's going to cost you more money. However,
But there's a but.
Yeah, that's a lawyer in you. The reason why we do this, personal finance is 80% psychological, 20% the mechanics. Yep. This is where the psychological part comes in. I kind of liken this to being, well, it is January, Amanda, trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing this diet and I'm working out, I want to see something happen in a week or two, right?
Right.
I'm standing in front of the mirror.
Otherwise, you quit.
I stand on the scale. If I'm not seeing a change, what am I more likely to do?
Go back to your old ways.
And that's why most diets fail, right?
Yep.
People I'm not seeing anything happen. This is BS. I'm not going to do it anymore. Same thing happens. And this is very common with paying off debt. People are trying to do the biggest interest rate, the biggest balance. And if you do that, of course, it takes you longer to pay the biggest balance. It can take you much longer. And you're not winning. You just see the number going down, but like, this is too hard. And and I've tried it myself,
Amanda. It's discouraging. It's very discouraging.
I've been there. It's not fun. It's discouraging. And you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. In contrast, if you're paying off the $1,000 debt first, then the two, then the five, then the 10, then the student loan that's at 30.
You get momentum.
I'm telling you, because this is the way I did it. I paid off the little ones first. I'm like, wow. I have an account at PenFed, and a couple loans were there. And as I'm paying them off, they're disappearing from my list. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And then you actually do feel good about it. You're like, you know what? I can do this. You pay off another one, then you're taking all that. Now, of course, we're paying minimums on all of them as we're doing this, by the way.
Right.
We're not ignoring a loan. We're just adding all the extra to the smallest ones. And I'm telling you, from personal experience, this works. It is a mental thing. And you do have all these wins as you go along.
Yeah. No, I did the avalanche. I had a number of student loans and I did the avalanche, but most of them were similar in balance size. So it wasn't really a big difference. So there wasn't going to be a quick win on any of them.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, it was easier to do the avalanche. And then it was encouraging once the first one was paid off. After that, the rest just kind of come down quickly.
To do this, we're working a second job. We're delivering pizzas. We're selling things that we're not spending. We're not in the restaurant unless we're working there.
Right.
I love that one. That's my favorite. We're selling things in our house that we don't need. We have
live old
things.
We're not financing our underwear.
Nope. We're not. Yeah. We're not filling out credit card applications. We're knocking out debt. And the quicker you do this, the faster we get back to getting ready for retirement. Okay. So it's all hands on deck. Everybody in the house has to be on board. Your kids need to understand we're not doing vacations. We're doing staycations this year. We're doing all of that.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. And the sooner you get all that paid off, we're not going back. And I'm telling you, the small wins will pay off. Now, let's look at the items that we're paying off. Let's say we have a car loan, Amanda, and the loan is $30,000-$40,000.
Oh, ouch.
And our income is what we say earlier in this episode. We have too much vehicle.
$56,000?
Yeah, we have too much vehicle. Okay. Now, if you can't pay off that car, this is the rule that they have out there. If you can't pay off some of your debts within 24 months, all hands on, you need to sell that debt. Meaning, if I have a car that I can't pay off in 24 months, we're selling the car and we're going to downgrade the car. We're going to buy an old beater.
Yep. Now, and there's plenty of them out there that are really good.
Now, this is the part, in my opinion, that people fail because that car is sitting out the driveway. Your neighbors all see it. And all your friends know you have it. And all of a sudden you sold your Lexus. And all of a sudden now, I shouldn't use Lexus, should I? You sold the Lexus.
All right. He put me out there. I have
okay,
a Lexus.
Hold on. Let's back. I sold the BMW.
I did sell my BMW. I traded down to a Lexus.
Yeah. Wow. No, I think you traded up personally. Yep. That's my opinion.
Was my sacrifice. I did because the Lexus is much cheaper to maintain.
But you sold off your nicer vehicle and you downgraded down to a Toyota. I don't know.
Which, by the way, a Lexus is a Toyota. It's just
absolutely. But now you've downgraded to a Mazda 3 or a Toyota Corolla, Honda Civic, a Honda Fit. A lot of people, in my opinion, they can't take that status change in their view of and how people are going to look at them. A lot of people buy things because they want others to think that they have a different lifestyle. They want to feel better about themselves. They want others to think differently about them. They're worried about what people think about them. And I think this is a key that keeps people from getting out of debt. Do you really care about what that guy thinks about your vehicle at the intersection? A lot of people actually do.
I don't care. I don't care.
Well, you're driving a Lexus. Of course they don't care.
Now you've outed me as a luxury car owner.
Yes, yes, you are.
I will say I've never cared what other people thought of me in my car. It was always about me personally. And as that was my goal, was to be able to afford one. And that's why it was important to me. So it's for me personally, not anyone else. It makes me feel like I've made it.
But there are a lot of people.
I'm not in debt.
But there are a lot of people that buy vehicles to impress. And that's a major problem out there. You got to make that decision. Of course, and we're also going to talk about boats. Boats and swimming pools are the two things that you might as well just take your, what they say, just take your wallet and just chuck it in the water. What are the best...
on me this episode. I have a pool too, you know.
What are the two best things that happen with a boat owner?
Oh, the best days are the day they buy and the day they sell.
Absolutely. So if that's something you're going to keep and you can't pay that debt off in 24 months, that's the rule. You need to sell the boat. We can always come back to that later on when you've made your net worth of $1 million or whatever down the road. Yeah. You can always rent a boat, right?
My friends have a membership with a boat club, and it's much more affordable.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in one of your Savvy Savings episodes.
Yes. Now, what I will say, though, is when I say affordable, it's still about the cost of an average car loan. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, even to be a part of a membership program. So I don't find, but again, it has to align with your personal goals and with your personal budget.
Yep.
For me, that's not a fit.
Yeah.
My Lexus is a fit.
but we're going to downgrade to a Beater, a couple $1,000 vehicle. And this is, that's what it takes. And then you can upgrade later.
There are old Beater Lexuses out there. So it's not always about the brand, Craig.
Yep. Yep. No, it isn't about that. It's about something reliable based on Consumer Reports. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's say that you lost your job and you're in the middle of this. You're a gazelle. You're gazelle intense. You're selling off your debt. All of a sudden, boom, now your income just stopped.
Yeah, I didn't have a car then. That's for sure.
So there's two scenarios when you lose a job, and you may or may not have had experience with this, where you do or do not get a severance pay.
I did not.
Okay. So in the case of not having severance pay, well, either way.
I was living paycheck to paycheck at the time. So it was a hard, hard hit.
So what do you mind saying what you did at that point before you found another job? Did you do gigs or selling? I mean, did you?
Oh, yeah. I cut my spending down to practically zero.
Yeah. You were basically in survival mode, weren't you?
You were 100% in survival mode. Yep. I cut out everything, cable, everything.
Yep. So
bare bones budget. Yep. Yeah. And then picked up side gigs or cash gigs. I relied on some friends for some help sometimes. I didn't have a car, so I had to ask people for rides, even to go to the grocery store, or I walked.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to do. You want to stay away from using your credit cards, getting personal loans.
I didn't even have a credit card at the time, and I couldn't even get a credit card. No one would give me one after my divorce.
Yeah. A lot of people will just go onto their credit cards and start racking them up. We want to avoid that as much as possible. And then let's say you do get severance pay. What we don't want to do is use the severance pay as much as possible. We want to leave that alone. We want to still be in survival mode.
Right.
Doing all the side gigs, selling everything that's not nailed down, going out there and intensely trying to find that next job. Try and leave that severance pay alone. Of course, we're not paying debt at this point.
Right.
We're doing the minimums as best as possible. We don't want to be late.
You're just paying for your bare minimums to live.
Right. So if you had the severance pay, usually it's like 3 to 6 months sometimes. Mm-hmm. Could be a month. I don't know. Let's say all of a sudden you got another job. Now we have this bucket of money that we didn't touch because we worked gazelle intense. We want to take that money, that newfound money, and now we're going to go back into baby step two. Well, we want to make sure our $1,000 baby step one is back on track. We didn't end up using that. If you had to use it, you have to use it. Okay.
Yeah, because that's what it's there for.
It's there for. So we've got that back up to $1,000. Then we take all that severance pay and we throw it at the debt. That could potentially leapfrog you forward.
Yeah.
It could be a fair amount of money, depending on what you had. I think we covered all of the aspects of the baby step two. The whole thing is we want to stay motivated. That is such a crucial point of this. We want to do it fast. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to drag this out, because if we're dragging it out, we're not saving for retirement.
Right.
We do not save for retirement while we're doing this. It's all hands on deck. And I'm telling you, if you listen to a lot of these, the Dave Ramsey program and these people are paying this stuff off in 2 years or less. And they had phenomenal amounts of debt. It's amazing.
I paid off $90,000+ in student loans in 2 years.
It's amazing what you can do if you want to do it. A lot of people,
you have to be laser focused. Like, this is your goal and you have to live and breathe it every day.
Yep. And everybody in the house has to be on board. If you don't want to do it, if you have one spouse that doesn't want to do it and you do, it's not going to work.
Now, there's really one thing I will say, Craig, though, like any diet, because you made the diet a reference earlier, analogy. Yes. So like a diet, you have to have built in a way for you to cheat now and then.
Yes.
So you have to have like a reward built in for when you meet certain goals that you are looking forward to, where maybe you can go out and, you know, maybe that's your goal is once a month you can go out to eat if that's important to you, you know, because, you know, you don't want to be in a restaurant unless you work there. But if maybe once in a while that's important to you and it's going to help you stay motivated to stay on track, then that can be your so-called cheat day, you know, because without those, you're just it's really hard to stay on like an 800 calorie diet every day for 2 years. So the built-in cheats are important because you definitely want to budget for those. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to have a binge weekend, right? And then you're way off track. So you want something built in that you've planned for, that's budgeted for, so that you stay on track while you're still working your way towards your goal.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
I think we saturated their brains enough with this episode. There was a lot going on this episode. We've had some great episodes lately.
Yes.
We've been throwing a lot more information compacted into these episodes. I think people are really enjoying what we're doing. So thank you again, Amanda. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.